I studied to be a priest in Columbus, Ohio, at a seminary called the Pontifical College Josephinum. I studied from 1992 to 1998. And at the Josephinum in Ohio were a number of seminarians from various dioceses around the country. And a good friend of mine, Francisco Higuera, was from the Diocese of Yakima in Washington. Francisco's first language was Spanish. He was from Colombia in South America. His second language was English. My first language was English, and I also studied English as a major in college. So Francisco would occasionally come to me whenever he was writing a paper for a class and would ask that I review it, correct any grammar, or just help with his syntax as he continued to grapple mastering English. And I remember one spring week, he had asked me, "Will you be around later this week?" He said, "I've got a big paper coming up. I really need to work hard on it and get it in." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Well, the week passed. It might have been a Tuesday that he asked me, and Friday afternoon came around. And it was a Friday as beautiful or even more beautiful than the day we had today. And that afternoon rolled around. I got done with my last class, and I knew Francisco was going to he still hadn't contacted me, so I know he probably still needed help. But I thought, oh, well, maybe he found someone else to help him. And it's such a beautiful day, and I headed to downtown Columbus and hung out in one of the parks and, you know, went out that night for dinner and a movie. I got back later that evening to the seminary, probably almost close to 10 o'clock, and there was Francisco pacing outside my door in the hallway. Oh, he's like, "Man, where were you? You told me you were going to help me with my paper." I'm like, well, I had to go find someone else, and then it was late, and I had to call Father Cooney and tell him that I was going to be a little bit late. He said, "Man," he said, "why did you let me down?" And I got defensive. I said, "Well, you hadn't contacted me, and I thought you'd, you know," and all those excuses that I could make. I felt terrible. I didn't apologize immediately, and it took me about the better part of a week to come around and say, "You know what, I really let you down. Will you please forgive me?" Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, Jesus tells us. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. I think of that experience in my life when I think about this very pithy statement that Jesus offers in Matthew's gospel. And I think we live in a world today where we're bombarded with so many choices and opportunities that we may have a hard time committing with a yes or a no. You know, it also makes me think of the parable that Jesus told about the two sons. The father went to his first son and said, "Son, go work for me in the vineyard." And the son said, "No, I'm not going to do it." But later he changed his mind and went and did it. And then there was the other son that said yes immediately, but then did not do what his father asked. Two boys struggling with yes and no in life. And don't we at times struggle in our yeses and nos? Maybe you can think of an instance where, like me, you didn't follow through on that commitment. Or maybe it's just struggling with commitment. You know, I notice in life today, it takes people longer to RSVP for things, or they hold off until the last minute before they decide they're going to do something. When I was a pastor in the parishes, it might be on some special faith formation event that we were having in the parish this evening. Or I know tonight, after Mass, there's a date night for couples. And it seems that more and more, you can't tell people, "Well, RSVP 2 weeks away or a week away." Even the day before, the afternoon of events, you'll still get those people saying, "Oh, can I still make it? Is there still room?" And it seems like we have a hard time committing in advance. And I almost wonder if we don't all think in the back of our mind, "Well, I don't want to say yes because maybe something better will come along. You know, I don't want to commit just yet because, well, I don't want to miss out on possibly something even better." And we struggle in our decision-making that way. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. When we make a choice for something, that also means that we choose not to do other things. It excludes things. We can't do everything all at once. And so we have to narrow down the possibilities and even set aside and maybe make a decision between two good things. That's an even harder choice. And so it is also, I think, with our faith. Is our yes to God a committed yes? Or is it, well, yes, God, until maybe something better comes along? Yes, we're going to go to Mass this weekend unless something else comes up. Or yes, I'm going to commit to that holy hour of adoration unless there's this other event that comes up. In our lives, we have trouble committing to the Lord because of all the other good things in the world around us. And Jesus came to show us how to commit to the Lord. In the book of Sirach, he talks about choices that are before us. The wise man, he wrote this about 200 BC. It was a prayerful man who lived in the city of Jerusalem who knew the ins and outs of the Jewish-Israeli religion. And he talks about these choices. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, Sirach says. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. God is offering us a choice. He's offering us the opportunity to say yes or no to him. And that's really amazing when you think about it. God gives us this amazing freedom of choice in regards to him. We can choose not to love God. We can choose not to engage a relationship with him. We can choose to put other persons, things, or activities before the Lord. And he's not going to force us otherwise. Because love, in the end, is a choice. Love is a choice. And God wants our free yes to him. God wants us to say, of all those good things in the world. And remember the story of creation. After every day of creation, God looked upon what he had made and called it good. And he's asking us, even among these good things in life, do you say yes to me? Do you give me an unequivocal yes? With no maybes, no if something better doesn't come along, but yes. And so God puts that choice before us. And of course, ultimately, he sent his son Jesus to give us that example of yes to God. Think about the very night before Jesus died, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his agony of the garden. It was his moment to say yes or no. And he even prayed, Lord, I know that tomorrow I suffer. I know that in just a few minutes, men will come. They will arrest me. They will begin to persecute me. Lord, I know tomorrow something horrible and unimaginable awaits me as I take up this cross, as I face the shame and the embarrassment and the pain of crucifixion. And he said, Father, if it's possible for this to go away, if it's possible for this cup to pass me by, oh, then so be it. But not what I will, Father, what you will. Jesus' yes was entire and total and complete. And so we strive in our lives to let our yes to the Lord mean yes, and to let our no to Satan, to sin, to selfishness be an unequivocal no. May God give us that grace to set before ourselves those choices and with wisdom choose the right answer.